Welcome to New Generation Church with Eddie Garcia.
Amen. Glory. God is good. I want to thank God for the opportunity just to be here behind this pulpit to bring a word to the body of NGC. It's a blessing. I thank my pastor, Pastor Eddie Merino. He's here. He's in the house. Don't nobody think that he ditched. He's in his office right now. He'll be out. But I thank God because I'm gonna be talking on leadership. That's gonna be our topic today. I'm gonna be talking on the topic of the call to leadership. I'm gonna say that again: the call to leadership. We believe that NGC is a church that produces leaders, and. By saying that, I want to say this, that I thank God for my pastor because he has been an example. I could say it's been easy because when you have somebody to follow, when you have an example, you know how you should perform. You know how you should do your job. It's like at work when you have a boss that teaches you how to perform. Your performance is outstanding. Why? Because you have an example. And I thank God for the man of God, for your pastor, Pastor Eddie Merino, because as he follows the Lord, we follow him. How many can say amen? And it's going to begin to make more and more sense as we get into the word, the importance of having somebody to follow, to have a good leader. That's why the topic of today is the call of leadership. Called to lead. If you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to be starting in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. And we'll pick it up at verse 25. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. It's a little bit easier to read, a little bit easier to understand. But we're gonna be using chapter 32. We're gonna paraphrase some of it because it's a long chapter. But we're gonna focus right now on 25 and 26. Everybody there? Amen. I'm gonna wait till everybody says amen. If you can't find it, say I'm not there yet. Help me out. Wait a minute, almost there. Okay, I think everybody's there now. If not, you can use the screens that are up there. You could cheat like that. Amen. But here we go. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control, much to the amusement of their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and shouted, "All of you who are on the Lord's side, come here and join me." And all the Levites gathered around him. Amen. So we see that Moses takes a stand. We see that Moses calls Aaron. Aaron was Moses' assistant. And while Moses is up in the mountain of God receiving a word from God, the people of Israel begin to worry. They begin to murmur. They begin to say, well, where is the man of God? Where is the man of God, Aaron? And Aaron begins to feel the pressure of the people. So they get together and they build an idol. They build a calf. They build an idol because they're worried that they don't have the man of God there for them. They feel like they're lonely. They feel like you do and I do sometimes when the pastor is not around. How many can say amen? And we see it in verse 1, that it says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. They said, come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Has that ever happened to you? You come to church, kind of like today. Some of you guys came expecting to hear Pastor Eddie speak. Eddie Merino, let me get that straight. You guys came with an expectation to hear Pastor Eddie Merino bring a word. And then you just get Pastor Eddie Garcia. So it's like, oh, it's just Brother Eddie G. You know, well, the same thing was happening with the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They knew Moses. They knew that God was with Moses. They knew that Moses was the man that God used to speak to them. But God calls Moses off into a mountain, and the people begin to mumble. They begin to murmur. They begin to not trust in Aaron. They say, you know what, Aaron? We don't know that God is with you like he was with Moses. And Moses is taking too long, so let us build some gods. Come on, somebody. I know the Lord's speaking already. It's like you call the pastor, he doesn't answer the phone. You send him a text, he doesn't answer your text sometimes. And your mom is sick, your dad is sick, your son's in the hospital, your daughter's in jail, your son got a DUI, I don't know. And you begin to mumble. You begin to lack faith because you can't get a hold of the man of God. And you start resorting to other things, other gods. Or am I just talking about my life? Or is that just me that does that sometimes? You know, but I'm saying this because I want you guys to understand that God has put a leader within you. God has called you to leadership. God has picked you up. God has brought you and planted you in this church so that you could lead others to Christ, so that you could lead others to the kingdom of heaven. It's not a coincidence that you're in this church. This church produces leaders. How many can say amen? I want to talk to you guys about things. If you're taking notes, right now is a good time to get that pen and that pad. Things to know about leadership. Number one, leadership is a call, not an ambition. I'm going to say that again. Leadership is a call. It's not an ambition. It's a call from God. God has placed a call of leadership in you. He's deposited a leader within you. And that's what God did in Aaron. God had picked him out to lead. That's why he was Moses' assistant. If you guys remember Aaron and Joshua and Caleb, they were all in the leadership. They were leaders. Why? Because God had called them. But what happened here is that Aaron was not willing to stand and speak up and say, you know what? Moses is an assignment. He went up to the mountain and we're going to continue to wait. He gave in to pressure. And that's the thing when you know a leader that is a leader, because he's willing to stand against the people. He's willing to stand against adversity. He's willing to stand against pressure for what is right. So leader is a call to be in leadership. It's not an ambition. It's not so that you can look good. Although it's part of it. When you're a good leader, it makes you look good. It's not so that you can come out in pictures here at the church because you attend a leadership meeting. No. You know, it's because God wants to give you an assignment. God wants to use you in certain areas where he can't use me. You have potential within you, but it's important for you to understand the potential that lies within you. It's time to activate the leader within you. Number two, leadership is a development, not an accomplishment. Leadership is a development, not an accomplishment. What do you mean by that, Brother Eddie? That leadership is something that you continue to learn. You continue to receive instruction. You continue to read God's word. You continue to read books. You continue to go to conferences. You continue to feed yourself so that you can become the best leader that there is. And all of us are leaders because we lead our families. You lead your home. You lead your children. Some of you guys are leaders at work. You're managers. You're assistant managers. You're in leadership roles. And God is preparing you so that you can make the difference. So that we don't fold like Aaron. And we tell everybody, well, you know what? You're right, people. You're right. Moses is taking too long. Let me get all your gold and all your silver and let's cast it into the fire so we can make an idol. No. God has called us to stand and to say, you know what? No, we're trusting in God. We know that God is with us and we're gonna wait on his timing. So remember that leadership is a development. It's not an accomplishment. And it's not about saying, okay, I received the title and that's it. I'm going to sit down and have a good time and receive all the acknowledgement because I'm in this leadership role and I have that title. No, it's when we need to start working even harder because now the eyes of people are on you. You need to work. We need to continue to work the same type of work and the same stamina, the same power, the same strength that we were working with to receive the title, to receive the role, to receive the position. When you're in leadership, it is not a time to stop, church. It is a time to keep going. It is a time, it's not an accomplishment. It's that God's developing you. And you know what? The beautiful thing is that when you fulfill your assignment in that leadership role, God will open another door and your leadership will go to the next level. Amen. Number three, leadership is a task, not a title. Leadership is a task, not a title. You know, Aaron's job was just to watch the people while Moses went with Joshua up into the mountain to receive a word from God. All he had to do is just watch them, keep them, you know, under control and say, okay, we're waiting for the man of God. That's all he had to do. That was his task. God had gave him that responsibility. But as we read, he failed his task. He failed in his assignment. Amen? So failure is a part of leadership sometimes. You learn from your mistakes and you grow. How many can say amen? How many have made mistakes? I've made plenty of them. But you know what? I've learned through my mistakes. I've grown through my mistakes. And you know what? And as we continue to read in chapter 32, they didn't cast off Aaron. They didn't say, oh, Aaron messed up. So we're no longer gonna talk to him. He's no longer gonna be my friend. No. As you continue to read, They didn't cast off Aaron. And at times, well, not here, but in other churches. You know, what happens is when people mess up, we cast them off. ¿Cuánto dicen amén? How many can say amen? All right, I'm going to get out of that area because you guys are getting too serious. I'm seeing the looks, expressions on your face. Amen. But praise God, because it's part of being a good leader. Remember, leadership is a call. God's called you to be a leader, not a follower. Just because everybody else doesn't talk to him or her, you be different. Maybe God has given you the word to encourage that person, to tell them, sabes que everything's going to be okay. You messed up, but you know what? You're here now. La regaste, you messed up, but you're here now. And that's what counts, that you learn from your mistake, that you don't continue to dwell in the problem, that you receive the grace of God, and that you shake yourself off and you get back up. Number, where am I? Four. Leadership is a function, not a position. Leadership is a function, not just a position. It's something that you function in. It's something that you work in. It's something that you know, it has moving. When you're a leader, you know how to pivot. You know how to adjust. You know how to, adapt. And that's what leadership is. Let me go real quick. Because God, how many of you know that God's always watching? Whether the pastor's present or not, right? Whether the leader is present or not, God's always watching. And so don't, what I'm trying to say, be who you are. Be who you are. Don't be someone just because a pastor's present, and then when he's not present, then you're somebody else. No. Be who you are. And I say this because look what I'm going to read. In verse 7 of chapter 32, the Lord told Moses, go quick down the mountain. Your people, whom you brought from the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. In other words, while the man of God was not present, while the man of God was not around the people of Israel, the people started acting up. How many can relate to that? Hello, somebody. I'm preaching good. I think I am. Good job, Brother Eddie. You know, it's like how they say, right? Well, when the cat's out, the mice shall play. Have you guys ever heard that? And sometimes that's the way we are. That's the way, and I'm saying we because I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here to judge anybody. It's things that I have to apply to myself as well. Not just because I'm a pastor here at NGC means that I get to do whatever the heck I want. No. I have to submit myself under authority, and I have to follow the word of God. I have to follow my pastor. I have to be open to correction, be open to be disciplined. How many can say amen? So the Lord told Moses, go down quick because these people, man, they're corrupted. They've corrupted themselves. They've lifted up a calf. They forgot that I took them out of Egypt. They forgot that I dealt with Pharaoh for the love, for the sake of them. They forgot that I've been feeding them manna in the desert. They forgot that I've been giving them water that comes from a rock. They forgot that I send a cloud to be over them, to protect them from the sun, from the heat of the sun. They forgot that I send rain. They forgot everything that I did for them. Because it's easy to forget, church. It's easy to forget what God has done for us. You know, if we read the whole story of the people of Israel, they got tired of the bread. And they said, we want meat. We want meat. And the Lord sent them meat. Amen? All right, let's keep going. If you perform the function and don't struggle for position, it is only a matter of time. The position will meet the function. I'm going to say that again one more time. If you perform the function and don't struggle for position, it is only a matter of time. The position will meet the function. So in other words, just keep doing what you're doing in leadership. God has called you to lead people, church. There's going to be times where you're going to have to stand your ground. There's going to be times where you're going to have to be the one that says, hey, this is wrong. We need to repent. We need to get right. We need to stop this. We need to change the music. We need not to talk like that. We need not to criticize. We need not to judge. And let me tell you that it's hard to stand. It's easy to follow. It's easy to go with the flow. But it's a hard thing to be by yourself and say, Sasuke, hey, you know what? This is wrong. And that's what Aaron was lacking. Aaron was lacking that maturity. Aaron was lacking that backbone to say, you know what, people? No. We're going to wait on the man of God. We're going to wait on Moses. He's eventually going to come back. Amen. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 30:27. Don't get scared, church. You can still say amen. Praise God. I want you guys to learn today. I want you guys to grow. It says in understand the situation of the people. Let's understand their situation, right? It says, get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. Mercy. That's powerful. Let me read it again. Get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. Outstanding leaders are made out of deep understanding. Say it again. Outstanding leaders are made out of deep understanding. That means when you have the truth, when you have the truth of the Word of God, and you hold on to it, and you don't compromise, you don't sell it, you don't dilute it, you don't lower your standard. You set a standard based on God's words, and whatever comes to your life, you continue to trust in the Word. You continue to trust in God no matter what happens, no matter how hard the situation gets. You discipline yourself to trust in God. And God begins to give you wisdom, that good wisdom, that Solomonic wisdom, that wisdom that helps you make decisions in your life to make the right choices. God gives you wisdom to stand for what's right. But first you have to get the truth in you. You got to get the Word. You got to get into the Bible. You got to read. You got to fill yourself with that understanding. That if you don't understand what you read, you have to ask God, you know what, God, I need to understand what I'm reading. I've shared plenty of times in the discipleship group that when I first started reading the Bible, I didn't understand anything that I read. I was like, man, how do you understand this? Is there another book that explains how what I just read so that I can understand what it's saying? And then there was a brother that said, yeah, you know what? As a matter of fact, there is. There's a commentary that it kind of, they break it down. People that have studied the Word and they break it down to explain what a verse says. But you see, but first you have to get into it, and then you got to start asking questions. You got to ask the pastors. You got to ask, hey, what does this mean? And most of all, you got to ask God. You got to ask God, show me, give me some insight, give me some revelation, give me some understanding of what I'm reading, because I'm not understanding. And you might even have to get an easier translation of the Bible. Maybe you're reading the King James and you need to get the NIV, the New International Version. There's different versions, different languages, so that you can understand, so that you understand what you're reading. Because it does no good for you to read, but there's no understanding. Is that making sense? I know it is, because I can see it in your face. You know, a lot of times you read and you don't even understand what you read because you're reading a hard version of the Bible that you don't understand. So you need to ask God to give you revelation and get an easier version. Now it's easy because you can get into the Bible app and change the version right there. You just by a push of a button, and it gives you all the list of all the versions there is in that application, and it makes it so much easier, church. It's not that we're so smart and that we're so intellectual that we learned a lot from Bible school or nothing. We come up here and we preach. It's that we have to get the information and we have to get the understanding to be able to give it out. Pero no somos tan truchas. We're not the smartest. Amen. But it's the tools. And it's God. It's God's spirit upon us. It's God's spirit in us that gives us the understanding. Amen. Okay. Sensitive to the needs of the people. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:15. A call to leadership, church. Some of you guys are ready for that step, for the next step, to get into a leadership role. And, you know, it's time to tell the bench, I'll see you later. I'm gonna start working. It's for you to tell the chair, you know what, chair? It's been nice, but it's time for me to go. And it's time for me to start working in the church. It's time for me to get involved, to get into the leadership, to get involved, to serve. How many can say amen? Amen. Don't say amen if you're not going to serve. Amen. Hebrews 4:15. The high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. See, God understands, he understands what you go through. He understands that you're not perfect. He understands that your faith sometimes fails. God understands that, but yet he still calls you into service. How many understand what I'm saying? How many understand? I'm gonna make it even easier. How many understand that I fail? How many understand that I'm a sinner? But yet God still called me, and God still uses me, and God placed me in a leadership role. Why? Because he understands my weaknesses. For he was faced with the same tests. He was faced with the same weaknesses, but he endured. He overcame. I failed, but he did not fail. That's why at the beginning I was telling you guys the importance of having a good pastor, the importance of having a good leader, somebody that you can follow, somebody that you can watch, and you can see their steps, how they're walking in the right path, in the right direction. It makes it a whole lot easier to serve God. But when you see somebody that is not walking or is not living what they're teaching, then there's that doubt, right? It's like, But when it's real, just like it's out of the Bible, then it's easier to believe. And that's why I believe what the word says, because Jesus did not fail. I might fail, but he didn't. So I'm putting my eyes on Jesus. I'm not putting my eyes on the leader. I'm not putting my eyes on the pastor. I'm putting my eyes on Jesus. And trusting in him, because he did not fail. He died on the cross. He did everything. He was the ultimate leader. Or he is, my bad. He is the ultimate leader. Because he did not sin. Remember, this is a quote by, he's a famous author. His name is Greg Rochelle. He's a pastor, and he teaches on leadership a lot. He says nobody cares what you know until they know that you care. I'm gonna say that again. Nobody cares what you know until they know what you care or how much you care. Once they start seeing the real you, your authenticity, once they start seeing that you're genuine, once they start seeing that you're one of the real ones, how many can say amen? Then they're going to start believing you. They're going to start following you. They're going to, why? Because you're real. You keep it 100. Amen? So that's why when Moses came down from the mountain, God told him, go back. Look, the people are getting corrupted. Go back down. As soon as he came down from the mountain, he rebuked them. And they shaped up. They say, hey, what'd you guys do? What is all this? Because as he was coming down from the mountain, he was already hearing all the commotion, all the ruckus, all the noise. And Joshua was with them. And Joshua said, hey, I think they're celebrating, they're praising God. And Moses said, no. He goes, they're not praising God because that's not a sound of praise. He said, well, let's go there real quick. Look, let's go back to Exodus. Amen. Exodus. You see, even the little girl said Exodus. Little boy, baby. Said, amen. Exodus 32. We're at. I think it's 25. We started. Amen. Here we go, verse 18. But Moses replied, no, it's not a shout of victory nor the wailing of defeat. I hear the sound of a celebration. So in verse, we back up to 17. When Joshua heard the boisterous noise of the people shouting below them, he exclaimed to Moses, it sounds like war in the camp. But Moses replied, no, it is not a shout of victory nor of wailing for defeat. I hear a sound of celebration. They were started to praise the idol. They started to worship the idol, and they were making noise, but it was for the wrong God. Amen. So when you sing, when we sing, that we sing loud for God, not just when Vicente Fernandez is playing on the radio, then we raise our voice and we sing all loud. And amen. Never mind. I know not here. It's in the other church. Amen. So he heard the noise. He heard the noise that they were loud, but they were praising the wrong God. They were praising the idol. And Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control. That's why it's a call to leadership, because there has to be good leaders. There has to be leaders. Without leaders, people get out of control, as we see in the Bible. It's important to have good leaders. And in this church, there's leaders. And some of you guys, God's called you into leadership, and you've been running from your call. You've been trying to avoid serving. Why? Because you've gotten comfortable. But I'm here today to remind you that God's called you. It's time to step it up. It's time to answer your call. Don't just expect others to lead you, God's called you to lead as well. And you know, the most beautiful thing, and I learned this through leadership, is that you can't complain. You can't complain if you're not willing to lead. If you're not willing to stand to make a difference. If you're not willing to say, okay, you know what? Put me in, coach. I want to be part of the team. I want to be part of the NGC leadership. I want to serve wherever it is that you want to put me, Lord. You know, I'm here. But don't say that, because that's what I said. And my first assignment was to cut the grass. And it was June, and it was 110, 115 degrees when I first came to NGC. There was days where I was like, Lord, I want to be a leader, but I didn't want to lead the lawnmower. I wanted to lead from the pulpit. I wanted to preach. But what are you trying to say, Pastor Eddie? That sometimes God will answer your prayer to be in leadership, but he's going to start you off from the bottom. And then he begins to build you up. Because there's nothing worse than God giving you everything that in a leadership role and putting you in a position when you are not ready to handle that position yet. Amen. And I'm saying that because of me, not nobody here in particular. So nobody get mad at me, avoid me after the church. No, none of that. Amen. I'm saying because that's why God put me in the lawnmower, because he still had to deal with my attitude. He still had to deal with my punctuality. He still had to deal with my anger. God was still healing me from my divorce. My mind was still coming off of drugs. How many can say amen? So you guys wouldn't want me to be in the pastor role going through all those changes, right? You're going to be my pastor's bipolar. How many can say amen? So that leadership takes time. Leadership takes time. And the sooner that you answer God's call, the sooner that he can get to work in your life and begin to build you up. How many can say amen? So the longer we delay our calling, the longer the process takes. Because remember this, church, if God's called you, there's nowhere that you can go and hide that God cannot reach. Remember the story of Jonah? He tried to run from God. He tried to get away from his calling. But God found him. And God had him fulfill his assignment. Don't be like Jonah, church. Come on now. It's better for us to say, okay, Lord, I hear your word today, and I'm here and I'm ready to respond. I want to answer my call into the leadership role. I want to take my life, my spiritual life, to the next level. I want to go deeper with you. And you become one of those persons in leadership that brings solutions. I'm going to say that again. Somebody that brings solutions, not problems. Because how many know that we deal with a lot of problems? So we want people that can help bring solutions to the problems. People that communicate with others. People God wants to use to counsel. Some of the things that you've gone through, the reason that you've gone through is because God wants to use them. God wants to use them. It's not a coincidence that you went through what you went. God's preparing you. God wants to use you for his kingdom. You know, now more than ever, I share what I've gone through. You know, and you'd be amazed at how many people it impacts when you're real, when you're transparent, when you realize that you should not be ashamed of what you went through, that God is going to use it for his kingdom, that God is going to use it for good. You know, for a long time, I would be embarrassed to say that I had to seek mental health help. You know, it came to a point in my life where I was fighting depression. And I had to get help. Go to mental health, go to counseling, and begin to help get the help that I needed. I'm not going to mental health no more, right? But God used that to get me where I'm at now. God used that to get me where I'm at now. So there was a combination. It wasn't just one thing that God, no. And what I'm trying to say that, don't be embarrassed. Maybe you're not where you want to be right now, but you're also not where you were at. God's taking you somewhere. Just like the people of Israel, God was taking them to the promised land. God was taking them to a better place. But you know what? Sometimes in your way, in your path to getting where God wants to take you, there's distractions. Sometimes you will fail. Idols will come up. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than a conqueror. You know, God has given you the solutions to some of the problems within the body, within the church. But and God's called you to leadership. But you know what? That solution hasn't arrived because you have not answered your call. We're waiting on you. Sounds like I'm recruiting, huh? But it's important, church, for us to step up. God has given you direction. He has given some of you guys, he has given you provision. I'm going to make it more plain. God has given you money. God has given you finances. You're a person of influence. And people know who you are out there, outside these walls. You have businesses. And God wants to use them for his kingdom. Why? Because he sees the leader within you. But you keep doubting yourself. You keep saying, oh, pues, the AC is good right here. Like Pastor said, how beautiful it is just to sit down right there and receive. Come at 9:30, leave at 11, and then Wednesday again, maybe, some of you guys. And then you don't see it till the next Sunday. No, but you know why people don't get involved? Because it's work. It takes work. ¿Cuánto dicen amén? How many can say amen? I'm going to start landing the plane already. I think that clock needs a new battery, Pastor. All right, I'm going to go quick because it's already tight. You know, progress is taking steps in the right directions. Any step that you take forward is progress. I'm going to say that again. Progress is taking steps in the right direction. Any steps that you take forward is progress. God's called us to be the difference makers. I'm going to say that again. God's called us to be the difference makers. God's called you to make the difference. God's called you to influence. People respect you for who you are. So influence and respect are part of your telltale signs that you're a leader. You have influence and people respect you. They see that you're serious. That you're serious about the things of God. And the last one. You can make an impact despite the setback, and your impact will swallow up the insult. I'm going to say that one more time. You can make an impact despite your setback, and your impact will swallow up your insult. So it doesn't matter if you failed or how hard you failed. What matters is that you get up. And you say, you dust yourself off and you say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to answer my call. Just like Aaron. He messed up, but you know what? He didn't stop. How many can say amen? All right, let us stand to our feet. You know, when you start, one of the things that I've learned stepping into leadership is that sometimes we don't realize how much influence you have. Some of you guys are influential. People in your family, maybe you don't have a title, but people in your family, they look up to you. That's leadership. At your work, you're the only believer. You represent the kingdom. You represent God. That's leadership. And we don't realize how much we influence others. Don't struggle for people to know you. Just know that they shall know who you are effortlessly, without effort. In other words, you're not going to have to go out there and promote yourself. People are going to see the leader within you and they're going to be drawn. They're going to follow you. They're going to follow you. Why? Because you follow Christ. You follow Jesus. And because you follow Jesus, they're going to follow Jesus as well. How many know that the children always do what they see the parents doing? Right? Some of your kids, they sound just like you. They talk just like you. Some of them, they look just like you. Right? And it's no different in God's kingdom. Once you begin to follow Jesus, once you begin to follow God, you begin to sound just like him. Why? Because you're the son. You're a daughter of the king. God's called you into leadership. Don't doubt yourself. Don't cut yourself short just because you've made a mistake. Just because you've, gotten cold. You've gotten discouraged. Somebody's died in your family. I don't know what happened, but you used to have that desire to want to serve. You used to have something within you that said, if they would give me the opportunity, I would serve with all my heart in a role of leadership. Well, I'm here today to tell you, remind you, that the opportunity is still there. God continues to call you. God wants to use you. Don't let your setbacks determine your destiny. Amen. Let us close our eyes.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.